You just heard the Glide Ensemble Choir, led by musical director Vernon Bush. Welcome to Total SF, Heather, and I love my job this week.
I do too. We have the best job getting to explore San Francisco, and going to the choir rehearsal at Glide was definitely a top experience for us.
Yeah, when I think of Glide Memorial Church, I think of the Reverend Cecil Williams. I think of decades and decades of giving care and compassion to the poor in the Tenderloin District. Now I'm going to also think of the choir and Vernon Bush, who is such a bright soul, such a nice person, such a great story. I had a great time hanging out with him.
So did I. We got to listen to him directing the choir in their rehearsal and then got to chat with him afterwards. And he's very talented and eloquent and a great San Francisco resident.
Yeah, and I just love the location too. I mean, people will kind of hear the echo of the church, but being in there is a special experience. News coming out of San Francisco sometimes tests our faith, Heather. I think if you're about to give up on San Francisco, go to a Glide service. It's something everyone should do, whether you have a religion, you're an atheist. Just get down there. It's an experience that's really special.
Yes, Vernon talked about how all walks of life come to the church. It's no longer affiliated with the Methodist Church after breaking from them recently. So he said, people who don't believe in God at all come. He's sung with famous people on stage. He said just the other day, Joan Baez came to church service there and ended up singing with the choir in an impromptu basis. He sang with Bono there. So yeah, everybody goes to Glide.
Yeah, he also talks about his beginnings as a preacher kid, how he got connected with the choir, what it's like to work in the Tenderloin as the district becomes national news. And we have some sound that we took from the rehearsal. This was the choir's practice, but they sounded beautiful and uplifting. Please wait until the end. Vernon and the choir will sing Encourage My Soul in its entirety. I'm Peter Hartlob, here with Heather Knight, who sings in this episode.
Don't worry, I definitely do not.
Well, you could have. Everyone is welcome to sing at Glide. And this is Total SF.
Thank you very much.
Vernon Bush, welcome to Total SF, and welcome to your church right here.
Thank you.
At Glide Memorial Church. I'm a little bit scattered because I'm completely uplifted because we just heard the choir, and it was a beautiful experience.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm a little speechless, which isn't good for a podcast. What was it like for you going to church growing up? Was it like Glide where there were just lines around the block waiting to come in?
No, Glide is one of a kind. I grew up, you know, I'm what's called a PK, preacher's kid. So my dad was a minister, my mom's a minister, and I grew up in church, a very small church, and very small but full of life. I think the same kind of energy was always generated at my dad's church.
Where was that?
It was up in Albany, New York. It was back in East. He had actually several churches in Albany, and then he had one, the last one before he passed away was in Queens, in East Elmhurst, New York. And it was one of the biggest ones in that area. So it was pretty lively. And, you know, my dad was a singer too, so he raised the roof at times. As a kid, just watching my dad, just like, wow.
Wow.
All the spirit. You
take after him.
Yeah, yeah. My family's like that, you know. We sang a lot growing up, so.
Together at home?
At home, and mostly in church, though. Mm-hmm. Mostly in church, in choirs. I've been in choirs all my life, so.
Wow.
How old were you when you found your voice?
Ooh, that's a good question. That is like a pivotal point in my life. When I turned 13, I knew I had this voice inside of me, and I was scared to get it out. And my dad had hired this new choir director, and I said in my mind, I'm going to really sing when this choir director comes in. And he came in, and he's like, anybody want a solo? And I was like, you know, raised my hand, a little timid, but I pushed myself out. He gave me a solo, and I will never forget the Sunday that I sang. I just opened my mouth, and I just let it rip.
What song was it?
It was a song called... And still hold your peace, salvation. I'm praying for you. That was the name of the song. I had to sing it through my head. But I just really sang the song, and I just remember everybody was just coming up to me and like, I didn't know you had a voice like that. Oh, my God. And I'll never forget being at the dinner table that night, and my parents didn't really say too much during the day, but they came and we talked about it all day. And like... my dad was like, I didn't know you had a voice like that.
Wow.
This is like a plot point of Sister Act, by the way.
I know.
I feel like there's talk of a third Sister Act. Maybe it should be based here and you should be the star.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, that's...
we'll pitch it to Hollywood.
Yeah, it's the story of my life, right?
Do you remember your first visit to San Francisco?
Yes, I do. I came here, a friend of mine was living in Los Angeles at the time, and a friend of mine kept saying, you know, you should go up to San Francisco. You know, it's a little bit like New York. And I was like, So I decided, you know, to come up here. And then I met my brother out here. And we came out here. And I said, oh, I see what they're talking about. It's a little bit of New York, a little bit of L.A. You know, people talk, like, have conversation with you. And I thought that was... pretty cool. I was excited when I the first time I came here. I was excited, and when I went back, I was like, I'm moving here.
Really?
Moving here. Oh yeah. And like within maybe 4 months, I moved up.
Wow.
I was like ready for LA. I had enough of LA.
Everybody's always had enough. Yeah. San Francisco's way better. Yeah. When did you discover Glide?
Believe it or not, the first Sunday I was here in San Francisco, a dear friend of mine who I ended up coming, you know, staying with him because I didn't have a place at first. He's like, oh man, you got to go to this church. It's really cool. It's called Glide. And you should come. Like, I was kind of tired of church. I didn't really want to, like, I said, okay, I'll come. I'll go. And when I first came here, I was like, wow, this is like a show.
Yeah.
You know, with lights and stuff. That's not an ordinary church, but I appreciate the concept because it really, you know, Cecil was sort of kind of thinking outside the box.
Yeah.
In many ways of, like, it's up here. This is a show, but it's not a show. It's actually, you're going to get your life from this. And I think that was the thing that sparked that kind of hit me. It was like, wow, this is an incredible church. And then when I actually left and went away because I really seriously didn't want to be in church. I went, I was like, oh, that's cool, this is very lively, and then I went away, and mm-hmm. I did my thing. I was doing a lot of music outside of the church, and doing, because I'm a songwriter, and I do a lot of my own material, and I got kind of burned out, mm-hmm. and it wasn't until, like, at least about 6 or 7 years that I came back, because all I wanted to do was sing in the choir. I said, I just want to sing in the choir, I want to disappear with all the huge choir, and just sing with the choir. Because I knew that was sort of like a workout, you know. It was, I knew it was Wednesday and Sunday, two days a week. I can just sing and no one knows who I am. Great. And I joined the choir.
What year was that? Do you remember?
Oh boy, that was 2000, 2001.
Mm-hmm. And when did you become the director?
2016.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. So I had been on and off. I had been in the choir singing as a soloist, but I volunteered. I said, I'll sing. And, you know, I started singing here. It was amazing.
And what is your day-to-day job like now?
It's an extension of what I've always done. I mean, I've been doing this for, you know, I was a choir director when I was a teenager. My dad let me have, he had a youth choir, and I handled that choir when I was 15. And I've literally been doing choirs all my life, you know. In London, I taught for a long time and brought choirs together, and just bringing people together was such a natural thing for me, to just bring people together inside of a church. And church to me, you know, a lot of people have negative connotations about church, but church to me was always about community. What's paramount is what we're singing about. I want you to hit this, the note so strong that he kept, you're saying that to you. God has kept me. God's kept me. He kept me. You're out in the audience. You're like, huh, he kept me. Yeah. Love. Whatever it's going, whatever your higher power is, that's what kept you. And you're affirming that over and over and over and over and over again until they're in tears. Because the power of this group is singing it together. Together. Yeah? Yeah. What I remember for church is like eating. Everybody would come and have like a meal after church. It was community. It was laughter. It was singing. It was just, you know, letting yourself go, letting yourself be. And Glide was very much like, it still is very much like that. You know, of bringing community together to just be together. And even through the pandemic, that was a major thing through the pandemic. I don't know if you're going to talk about this, but during the pandemic, I remember the day we closed. It was so surreal. And that day, that Sunday, we had service here, but we didn't have anybody in, and we still kept service going. And then subsequently after that, after we realized, oh, the church is actually going to have to close, I still kept the choir going. You know, I learned how to use Zoom. And
singing is really hard on Zoom.
Yeah, it is. But what it wasn't so much the singing as to really the community on a screen. And I know we have a video of us doing it. We actually did a song, and it was amazing. Even though we couldn't hear each other sing, we saw each other singing, and that made it everything. And people came every week religiously. For the whole 2 years of the pandemic, people were still coming every week, and I held them. I set up in my own house, and I just, you know, broadcast and kept the group together. And this is the group that kind of stayed with it.
What was it like the first time you were all singing together in person?
People were crying. You know, first time we were in here, you know, when you get something taken away from you and all of a sudden you really realize you don't have it anymore. And when you come back into it, you get to it again. It's like, I mean, I remember when we opened the doors again, people would just sit here, crying. Just emotion, just realizing, I really miss this. This was something that was really powerful for me to come every week. And you don't realize that when you're doing it because it's just a habit, but when you have to like stop, it's like, oh my God.
We'll be right back after this short break.
I just feel the history when I come in here.
Yeah.
Do you think about that? I mean, 1966 it started. Before the Summer of Love, I can imagine, you know, hippies coming in here with...
I know.
Do you think much about the history? Do you feel it?
Yeah, I think we had a couple, like, I think it was back in Easter, we had a couple clips of, like, how it was back then. And they had Cecil with his big afro, and they had, like, right, like you're saying, had hippies in the church. It's like, wow, look at that. That's amazing. It's just, this church is so iconic and historic, you know, that so many things have gone through this, so many movements have gone through this, and having Cecil and Jan, rest her soul, just kind of guiding it. It's just, that's been the beacon. And, you know, I feel a lot of it has been my responsibility inside of the music to keep it going. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's kind of been my my heart around it.
Is your approach with the choir, with this choir, mm-hmm. maybe different than what it was like in your childhood or different choirs? How is the Glide Ensemble unique?
It's different in the sense that the major difference between me growing up, I came out of a black church, Baptist black church. When I got here, it's all walks of life. Mm-hmm. That was the thing that was dumbfounding to me. I was like, wow, they have all these white folks that are like rooted, like get. I was like, wow, look at this. This is amazing. And I think that was the thing that really struck me, was like, wow, there's all walks of life here. And then really intrigued my dad too. He's like, how does he get all those people here? And I think it's one of the things that a lot of churches don't have, which is the acceptance of everyone. Every religion, there are atheists here. And they still come because it's community, and it's because it's kind of like this through line. And I think that's the amazing thing, is like carrying that message of unconditional love and, you know, unconditional acceptance, tolerance. You know, I think that's even when you think about what's happening in the world, it's like no one has tolerance for another person's lifestyle. You may not disagree, you may disagree with it, but that's the way they're living. And I think that's what Cecil really instilled in all of us, and especially the choir. So I'm always reminding the choir, remember, this is something to practice, unconditional love, unconditional acceptance. We got to do it ourselves. And then when we do it ourselves, people will see us, and hopefully they'll catch on and do the same thing.
Do you have to try out for the choir, or can anybody join it?
Yeah, you have to try out. You used to not be, well.
Sorry, Heather.
I'm definitely not going to make the cut.
You know, that's one of the things I changed, because I really wanted singers to be serious about singing.
Well, since you've been working here, the Tenderloin seems to make the news a lot locally and nationally, usually for bad stories. What are your experiences in the neighborhood, and what do you think of the way it's depicted?
I kind of don't really pay attention to the news, because I don't like the bad stuff that they bring up. Yeah, it's just like any other city in New York where people are not cared for. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you expect a homeless person to care about himself if you don't care about him? You know, that's what it comes down to. It comes down to tolerance. And Glide is like a beacon. That's why people congregate around here, because they know fundamentally, if I get to this church, I'm going to be accepted. Regardless of if I'm a drug addict or whatever, it's that one moment. And the thing for me when I'm walking in the Tenderloin is like, I talk to everybody. I say hello. I say hi. I look people in the eye and ask them how they're kind people. I mean, I've experienced that personally, like, people are kind here. They'll have a conversation when you have a conversation back with them, and it's not scary to me. It's like, oh, they're just people. And everyone has a down point in their life. Everyone goes through a down point in their life. And I've heard so many stories here at Glide through the years of people who have done really bad, but they've been able to pick themselves up because they've had a community that says, we believe in you, mm-hmm. and we know you did bad, but now you can do better. And, you know, so Maya Angelou, if you knew better, you do better, right? So I think it's part of that thought process of, yeah, that's really the thing, like the support underneath that. And I feel like if we had more compassion instead of like, oh, look at that person in the street, they can't even take care of themselves. I mean, it's a person there, mm-hmm. and that's how I see it's a person, and that's how I view them.
When you're up here, how much are you aware of what's going on out there? and how much are you?
Oh, I walk on? Like in every Sunday morning. I walk through it.
Yeah,
I see it all every Sunday.
Yeah,
and I'm really aware. I try to get the audience involved with the singing because that's your freedom. So many people don't sing, and I'm like, man, it's so much joy in singing.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like I said earlier, like when people go, "Oh, I have a terrible voice," it's because you never heard it. You never gave yourself a chance to really listen to the beauty, the sound of your own voice.
I've heard my own voice.
Yeah, you know,
it's not a good
thing. Yeah, people say that.
Heather notoriously will not sing on this podcast. I have sung several times. I think this is the time.
No, nobody wants that. I think Vernon should sing some more.
Yeah, but it's like you have to take the time to just really just take a breath and however it comes out. And you know, it's funny you say that because I grew up in New York, but my roots are in South Carolina. My parents are from South Carolina, and I heard all kinds of voices. Grandmothers singing, you think they can sing? Ooh, the church should be on fire, and you just watched this grandma just singing, and it really wasn't about her voice. It was the spirit that she carried that made she was so full of joy. You just started smiling and like you were just with her. Even if she was off key, it was like, wow, look at that. It would just make you laugh and make you happy. And it would make others happy because that person was so into it that she didn't care.
Aww.
Oh, you remember that, Heather.
Okay. I'll be that grandma one day.
Yeah.
Well, I was going through some of our Chronicle Archive photos and one thing that struck me was it was one celebrity after the other. I mean, from Handy to Joan Baez to Bobby McFerrin. Have you had a few people come through here perform? What are some names that you've been up here
like
with?
Joan Baez was just here a couple weeks ago at college.
Wow.
She showed up in the audience. She's in I don't know how they got her up on stage, but they got up on stage and she sang a song with us.
Oh, wow.
It was
awesome. It was such a nice surprise because we didn't even know. We just like, oh, Joan Baez is here. What?
And what did you sing with her?
I can't remember the song. It was a freedom song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She picked the right song. We all knew it.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, we off to the races with it.
That's cool.
You know, we've had so many people. I mean, come through here, you know. I remember Bono came. It's Cecil. I remember Cecil seeing him and bringing him up on stage and we singing with him. And, you know, it's so many people have come through here.
Bono came to the Chronicle's Publishers Board meeting once,
really?
So apparently he's just around San Francisco a lot.
Yep.
Yeah, I just thought it must be interesting for you to be up here and look out there and be like, is that Nancy Pelosi?
Yep.
Well, you survived our serious questions, and now it's time for the lightning round.
Yeah, those were all serious questions.
Very serious. Okay. Very, very tough news here. Yeah. Where's your favorite place in the city to get a burrito?
I don't really eat burritos because I'm a vegan and gluten-free.
Yeah,
so I would go, but I actually love, I love Pica Pica. Peruvian restaurant, and I love it. It's really good. I just went to Peru, you know, a couple months ago.
Nice.
Good food.
What's your favorite movie filmed in San Francisco?
The Birds.
Good one.
Yep.
I thought you'd say Sister Act.
I thought you'd say Pursuit of Happiness.
Well, that's true.
I was in that. That was fun. Pursuit of Happiness was fun. I mean, I remember being in the choir and singing.
That choir scene. I'm gonna go look at it again.
Don't blink. I was like, where are we? I'm like, Mom, look, there I am. Don't blink.
What's your favorite song to sing together as a choir?
The one you heard. Encourage My
Soul.
The
last one.
That's our go-to. That's the song that brought us through the pandemic. Whenever we could sing it with our. We sing it just like you heard it. It's just always uplifting, and it's always the message around it is just be encouraged.
Mm-hmm.
The storm is passing over.
Mm-hmm.
Another one will come, but the storm is always passing over.
Yeah, I recorded that. So,
cool.
You don't know it, but all of our listeners are hearing that right now.
No, get out of here.
In post-production.
Awesome. I love it.
What's your favorite holiday song?
That would have to be the Christmas song.
Oh.
Just know the rosy.
Oh, that's a nice song.
I love that song. Yeah. Every year you can play it, I never get tired of that song.
What's your favorite, Peter?
Oh, Holy Night.
I was just going to say Holy Night. Yeah, Night.
Because when someone can hit that, yeah. I go to tears.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
We'll sing that this year.
Ooh. Yeah. Can you give us a sneak peek?
Well, I'm not the soloist, but we're going to be singing it.
Okay. Do you sing in the shower? And if so, what's your go-to song there?
Oh, God. I do sing in the shower. However, it's usually something that I'm writing. That's where a lot of my creativity happens, is in the shower. I'm like listening and I hear sounds through the shower and pitter-pat and, you know.
And last question, what's something you always make sure to squeeze into your busy day?
Oh, that's easy. Meditation. You gotta like calm all the noise.
Yeah.
Because there's so much around.
Well, thank you so much. It was great to meet you in person
fun.
And hear you
this
sing.
This is awesome.
Yeah, I want to come back, and that was wonderful. I mean, we've had a lot of special experiences,
right.
Just getting to watch the choir and
awesome.
By ourselves like that was really special. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome anytime.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
Thank you.
That's a wrap.
Thank you for listening to the San Francisco Chronicle. Our music today is from The Sunset Shipwrecks, Castro organ player David Hegarty, and cable car bell ringing from 8-time champion Byron Cobb. Support Total SF in the newsroom that creates it by investing in a digital Chronicle edition. It's less expensive than you think at sfchronicle.com/pod.